I'd like to call to order the commission meeting for Wednesday, June 27, 2012. Can I confirm a quorum, please?
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Okay, great. And under my report, I do have a presentation. And this is a presentation in appreciation for Frank Harris on the occasion of his retirement from MTC. He is retiring. Frank is retiring after 18 years of service. He started with MTC. I'm going to have you step forward in just a moment. He started with MTC in August of 1993. No running away. As a contracted database assistant, and we are presenting him with this letter of appreciation, please join me in congratulating Frank on this special occasion. If you'll please come to the podium.
Trying to be helpful.
Frank, I would like to present you with this commendation and appreciation of your work here at MTC on the occasion of your retirement, and we appreciate your nearly 20 years of working here in at MTC, and we appreciate all the hard work and effort that you've put into it, especially, as your retirement date approaches. We know that you want to enjoy those great years ahead, and we hope you make sure you continue to come visit us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank the commission and thank the MTC staff for 18 really wonderful years here. I've enjoyed it very much working with the staff. Every day there's new challenges, but every day you find a solution to something, and it makes you feel good about what you're doing for MTC and for the Bay Area. So thank you very much for the opportunity to spend so much of my career here, and best wishes to MTC in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, congratulations and enjoy that wonderful retirement, something we're all looking forward to. Okay. Item number... One other thing I wanted to report out is we had our executive committee this morning to review the executive director's performance, and we gave him glowing remarks. We did talk a lot about the past and the difficulties over the past year, but we also talked about the future with the opening of the bridge coming forward, with our planned Bay Area, with our issues around the building, and just basically looking forward to the continued excellent work of the people here at MTC and all they have done to help bolster this board, but also make sure that our goals and objectives are met. And we appreciate the fine work of Mr. Heminger, and we also appreciate the fine work of the staff. So it was a unanimous vote that we approved his performance in a very positive way. My next item that I'm going to ask Egan Turplin to present his Policy Advisory Council report. Okay, that's not Egan, but...
Every once in a while, Egan and I exchange places. Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Dolly Sandoval, the Chair of the Policy Advisory Committee, and... Normally, you do see Egan during the school year, but that's because I'm in my classroom teaching, so I have a couple of assignments during the summer to come and report to you. At our last meeting, well, first let me start with what you ended with, Madam Chair, which was thanking the staff. I'll just add that Pam Grove and Leela, and before Leela, Leslie, Laura, have just been excellent staff members for our committee, and we appreciate their diligence in helping us do our job best so that we can help and give you advice as well as we can. At our last meeting, our primary agenda item was the Planned Bay Area Environmental Impact Report, and we had quite a lengthy discussion about that. Again, your staff member, Ashley Nguyen, did an excellent job at presenting where we are in the scenarios and what are our upcoming challenges as well as meetings. We appreciate the staff listening to the PAC and adding that Solano County meeting to take place so that there can be a scoping meeting there in Solano County. We know that took a little bit of work, and we appreciate the endeavors to make that occur. Also, in regards to those scoping meetings, we had some questions on our own local agencies and how they're advertising not just to their agencies themselves, but also to the community, so that the residents in our communities who will utilize the transit that we provide in the future, and give them the ability to come out to those scoping meetings and share with you and us their ideas. We had a couple of comments that I want to specifically go over in regards to the report. One, we felt that we didn't see the address of the health impacts in the CEQA, in the shortened CEQA exemption. And so we were hoping that you as a commission would take that up and make sure that all relative health impacts in terms of the scenarios are going to be understood, and that we know as a community with every scenario what those health impacts are. The 45-day timeline at the end of December, which would be the response, the public review response period, comes at the end of December, where many of our local agencies either take furlough days because it's the end of the calendar year. And so as we look at those 45 days, we want to make sure that there's enough time on both ends of what could be an agency's furlough days to make sure that they have enough and appropriate time to review the report. We have a suggestion to include the testing of road pricing on existing highways included in that EIR, and that there's several members of our committee felt that because there was not a school impact mentioned in the EIR, that should be included. As a former city council member, I know a school impact is not necessarily included in an EIR because it's a different jurisdiction, but that point was raised by well over half of our committee members. And pretty much that really summarizes our points on this. We thought that having a matrix of some sort to offset the pros and the cons of each scenario would probably be the easiest way for both the public and ourselves and other people who will review this plan Bay Area will be able to ascertain which alternatives are better for what different aspects that we're going to evaluate, and we're excited to see the process move forward, frankly. We also, that's it on that issue, which took a majority of our time, as I said. We also had motions for the chair and the vice chair for next year's PAC starting, and we will vote on that next month. So far in nomination, I guess I didn't step back far enough, and the committee has nominated myself again to be chair for one more year and Aegon Turplin to be the vice chair for the next year. We're accepting nominations through the start of our meeting next week, July 11th, and 2 weeks from now, and we'll go from there. Any questions I might be able to answer?
Great. Thank you, Dolly. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Liccardo.
Thank you. Dolly, thank you for the presentation. I just had a question about the health impacts. My recollection is that CEQA does require our assessment of impacts on, for instance, particulate emissions, on asthma, you know, the kinds of concerns you might have that directly result from transportation uses. Was the commission or the committee more concerned about broader health impacts, like the extent in which walkability might be affecting obesity rates or things like that? Or what exactly were they focused on?
No, Commissioner Liccardo, what it really was, the committee was really more concerned about with the shortened CEQA, the CEQA exemption, that those health impacts that are looked at in a longer, fuller CEQA process still be included in the CEQA exemption, the kind of the shortened process. And so we're not sure which health impacts are, frankly, if there's a difference of health impacts that are looked at. We just want to make sure that at some point somebody at your level really asks the question, are we addressing the normal health impacts that a regular time CEQA process would look at?
Great. Thank you, Dolly.
Sure.
Any other questions for Dolly? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. We appreciate
great.
All your great work.
Thank you. Likewise.
And I'm going to move back to the chair's report as I skipped over two items that I want to bring forward. And one is in regard to the Policy Advisory Committee to study the Tri-City and Tri-Valley Transit. If you recall, in May 2012, the Commission approved the Transit Sustainability Project recommendations as part of MTC Resolution Number 4060. Among the policy recommendations approved by the Commission were the completion of county or sub-area transit plans in support of interagency service planning and to pursue functional and institutional consolidation where supported by local input. MTC's executive director has received a request to investigate ways to improve service in South and East Alameda County, more specifically the Tri-City and Tri-Valley areas served by the Livermore-Amador Valley Transit Authority, called LAFTA, Union City Transit, and AC Transit. The requested evaluation would include an analysis of service followed by a review of service delivery models and institutional structures to best meet the service recommendations. This request is in line with the Transit Sustainability Project recommendation. Therefore, I propose that the Commission approve the creation of the Policy Advisory Committee to study transit in the Alameda County Tri-Valley, Tri-City area that includes one representative from MTC and one representative from each of the three transit agencies, LAFTA, AC Transit, and Union City Transit. The Policy Advisory Committee will be responsible for reporting findings and recommendations to MTC's Select Committee on Transit Sustainability. I will ask the Executive Director to send a letter to the transit agency board chairs asking that they designate a representative for the committee. I'd like to have a motion and a second to approve the creation of a Policy Advisory Committee and to appoint Commissioner Haggerty to serve as the MTC representative for the Tri-Valley, Tri-Cities Transit Study.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comments, questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Scott, you have yet another assignment. And then one quick announcement. We're going to be having a special joint ABAG Executive Board and Commission meeting. It will be held on July 19th at 7 p.m. This special joint ABAG Executive Board and MTC Commission meeting. The purpose of it will be to approve the alternatives that will be evaluated in the Environmental Impact Report, along with the preferred land use strategy and transportation investment strategy approved at May's joint MTC ABAG meeting. This meeting will take place in the Scottish Rite Center, located at 1547 Lakeside Drive in Oakland, just a few blocks from here. This meeting is in addition to the regularly scheduled BATA and Commission meetings on July 25th. So that is the end of my report. Hope to see all of you there. And now we will move into Mr. Heminger's report, the Executive Director's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioners, good morning.
Thank you.
You heard about one of the personnel changes just a minute ago with Frank Harris leaving. I know you're all well aware that Doug Kimsey has retired as well, and his retirement party is here tomorrow. I did want to take the opportunity to do something a little bit unusual in terms of the new hires because I think they are significant enough that it was worth giving you a roadmap, which you all have at your places. It's a revised version of our organization chart, and I wanted to take the opportunity today to introduce to you the three new section directors that I am appointing. The first one is to take Doug Kimsey's job as planning director, and you may have heard of this guy, Ken Kirky, in the front row. And the second is to take Terry Green's position. Terry, as you know, now is working full-time on the 390 Main Street project, and her name is Mamie Lai, right there. Both Ken and Mamie, as you know, are from ABAG and BCDC, respectively. And I have a feeling that my counterparts at those agencies think that I'm taking this one Bay Area thing a little bit too seriously. But there's no hiding talent, and both of these are very talented individuals, and we're happy to welcome them to MTC. The third new section director is not a poach from any other agency except ourselves, and she is Carol Kuster. Sitting next to Melanie Crotty, who will be her counterpart in the operations half of the agency. And what we did there, it was really Andy's brainchild, is in Carol's section in particular, bringing the Clipper and Fast Track programs together under one director. And it's called electronic payments because that's what those two programs are. They're obviously quite different in terms of the markets they serve, but they are doing essentially the same thing. And we thought that by putting them together under one director, we would achieve some learning that it was a little bit harder to do separately. So I'd like to congratulate all three of these new section directors. You'll also be seeing some news about several principals that we have appointed. Principal is the classification we have that's right below section director and right above senior planner or engineer. I announced today four new principals in Andy's side of the shop. We're going to be advertising a similar number of them in Ann's side of the shop and trying to fill those positions in the next few months. That's all trying to prepare people for future leadership, that's a good thing for this agency. So that's the personnel changes, quite a substantial number of them this time in very important positions of responsibility. In terms of the schedule of events, Caltrans pulled off another weekend closure of a toll bridge, this time the Dumbarton Bridge, over Memorial Day, and reopened it a few hours early. So they have had a lot of practice, and they're getting quite good at it. The California High-Speed Rail Authority, I think this is a bit of old news by now, but I think you're aware that they have hired former Caltrans director Jeff Morales to run that organization. So talk about jumping from the frying pan into the fire. That's where Jeff is right now, and we look forward to working with him in the years ahead, especially over this summer as we try to get a decision from the legislature in appropriating the funds to begin the project. At the top of page two, let me convey to you, he's also here in the room, Brian Mayhew, our CFO, was named CFO of the year for a non-public company. I guess that's what we are. We're a non-public company. At the 7th annual ceremony that benefits the Larkin Street Youth Services in San Francisco, I've included the puff piece, which I'm sure Brian has memorized by now. I encourage you to do the same. It's a well-deserved award, all kidding aside. The CTC has taken an action. In fact, they're scheduled to take the action, but their executive director, I think, sort of tipped their hands. And that is they are finally, and we are finally, I think, on a glide path to get the Proposition 1A high-speed rail connectivity funds committed. And you'll recall that we went through a consensus building process here in the region to put together a memorandum of understanding that will focus that investment here in the Bay Area on the San Francisco Peninsula in electrifying and putting in positive train control for the Peninsula Corridor. That would benefit both Caltrain immediately as well as future high-speed rail service. So that's all good news. That piece of the puzzle seems to be coming together. We had a reminder in the middle of June, as if we needed one, about how important BART is to our regional mobility picture when there was a fire near the West Oakland BART station that shut down the Transbay Tube. It happened to do so on the opening day of the U.S. Open Golf Championship and smack in the middle of the commute, so it was quite a mess. I think we made as good a cleanup as we could of the mess in terms of the 511 phone number as well as getting out some bus service. But the simple answer is there aren't enough buses in the Bay Area to replace BART. The importance, I think, even though this isn't in this case, this fire was unrelated to the BART system. I think the message about keeping BART and our other transit systems in a state of good repair, because when you lose them, you really know how much you miss them. The Presidio Parkway, which has been before you several times under the guise of Doyle Drive, that's its new name. The Presidio Parkway Public-Private Partnership, that's five Ps. That had its financial close finally, and that follows a lawsuit from the State Engineers Union, as well as a last-minute infusion of public funding from this agency and others. So now that the first phase of the project, which if you haven't driven on it, is actually quite a sweet ride through the Presidio in San Francisco, now that that is open for traffic, the next phase can commence, and that's scheduled to be completed in 2015. The so-called Tiger Grants, I'll mention at the top of page 3, which is a little competitive sweepstakes that Secretary LaHood's been managing for the last few years. He announced the latest set of awards, and two Bay Area projects did score grants, $15 million for the intermodal rail project at the Port of Oakland, and $10 million for improvements at the new Mission Bay campus of UCSF. The 880-92 interchange, which is the last interchange, last project in the Regional Measure 1 toll bridge program, was the interchange of the year. I didn't even know there was such an award, but it was. How about that? And I especially wanted to congratulate Peter Lee on our staff, who was the guy who helped get it done from our point of view. I'll mention the map of the month just briefly. It's an indication of the racial and ethnic diversity of the Bay Area. And we are not only do we have a large number of folks in minority groups, but they are also mixed around in the Bay Area to a very considerable degree. The most diverse county, the two most diverse counties in the region in terms of that mixing are Solano and Alameda. All of the counties in the Bay Area basically are above the national average because of the high level of diversity and distribution of those folks in our region. And let me conclude in terms of events with news from Washington. And it may be hard to believe, but it looks like the Congress may actually pull off a reauthorization of the surface transportation program. They have been meeting, and they means the principals, Senator Boxer from the Senate, as well as Congressman Micah from the House, very intensively over the last several days. And the reports are that they are making enough progress that they are not going to move ahead with a short-term extension bill, even though the current extension ends on Saturday. They are trying to get the new bill done. The news is sketchy. We're not aware of all the issues that are in the bill. We do know there are a lot of puts and takes going on, especially on issues related to environmental streamlining, related to non-traditional, let's call it, transportation programs, even though biking and walking were around a lot longer than driving cars. But those are clearly in play. What we've heard this morning, at least in terms of where they seem to have had some common ground, the first is that they are looking to make it a little bit over a two-year bill. You remember that the Senate passed a two-year bill that was really about 18 months because that's when they passed it. By now, that bill is about a 15-month bill. So they have apparently figured out a way to filch some more money out of the general fund that will allow them to adopt a 27-month bill that would last for 27 months from the time they adopt it, not sometime several months before. Apparently, the offset that they are focused on is something called smoothing private sector pension payments, whatever that might mean. What it means for certain, what it doesn't mean for certain, is it's not gas taxes. It, again, is relying upon general fund borrowing to continue the Highway Trust Fund program because there is insufficient revenue in that trust fund to sustain current funding levels. One of the most controversial things in the House bill was the attachment of this Keystone oil pipeline, And there apparently is a tentative agreement that the House will drop that and the Senate will drop some other things the House doesn't like. So whether that's the case or not, I have a little bit of a hard time believing that, because that's been such an important issue for the House Republican caucus. But it seems to be that that's in the nature of a resolution to get the final bill approved. So just stay tuned to your cable news channel. That's, I think, where you'll follow the progress on this over the next day or so as they try to finish the bill and the program. And in terms of upcoming events, the only one that I am focused on is walking my daughter down the aisle on Saturday. So thank you very much. And that concludes my report on that happy note. Happy and expensive note, I might add.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Any questions for Steve on any of the reports? Okay, any commissioner comments in general? Yes, Mr. McKenzie.
Commissioner McKenzie from Sonoma County Cities and County. I just wanted to let you all know that the first loads of 90,000 concrete railroad ties have started to be delivered at the north end of the Phase 1 of SMART in Santa Rosa. They are being delivered by rail, by Northwest excuse me, freight service that comes off the main line at Cordelia Junction and comes up the railroad tracks to Santa Rosa. These concrete ties have been manufactured in Spokane, Washington. The rail that will be welded together to sit on top of these concrete ties has been manufactured in Pueblo, Colorado, and it will be being delivered by rail. The bridge that we bought in Galveston, Texas, to replace the old Haystack Landing Bridge in Petaluma has been delivered and is sitting at the Napa pipe site, waiting for it to be transported and put in place at Petaluma. So I'm happy to report that, thanks to the efforts of our executive director, thanks to the efforts of Ann Flemmer and Brian Mayhew and Ms. Buckelman, we would like to thank, and Steve Kinsey on your behalf, I already thanked Steve Heminger and staff for their efforts in getting us to the point where we were successfully able to sell bonds. We have money in the bank, and we are proceeding with construction. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Commissioner
Worth. Changing name. Right, I know. I just wanted to briefly, last week in Contra Costa County, Federal Glover and I had the pleasure of attending the groundbreaking for some significant improvements to Highway 4, the Sand Creek Interchange, which both mobility and safety are really important projects. But after the groundbreaking, I drove down to attend the Alameda County Fair with my children and had the opportunity to drive on the Vasco Road Corridor. And that was the first time I'd had the chance to drive through it in its completed safety conditions. And I really just wanted to take a moment to thank MTC and MTC leadership, our executive director, for providing those American Recovery Act funds to do that improvement. As you recall, a number of years ago, we did a study and concluded that it was a dangerous corridor, but of course, there was no money to do the improvements. And just having driven it, those improvements have made a significant difference in terms of the safety of the corridor. We still have a long, way to go in terms of a lot of these rural roads that need safety investments because they become major commute corridors. But I just wanted to thank all of you and Steve for your leadership in providing those funds.
Thank you, Amy. Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Azambrado.
Yeah, Tom Azambrado, HUD rep. In regards to the Oakland fire, it was wood construction, and that's normally a concern during construction because the fire sprinklers are working afterwards. And normally I'm not into proposing more housing regulations, but I'm not sure with transit-oriented development if we should look at BART and others to try to deal with non-combustible construction when it's within a certain proximity of transit-oriented development. And I think that's a bought lease, and that they might be able to do it independently of local government as a condition of their lease. And again, I recognize the upfront cost, but I think we were very fortunate that we only lost about 200,000 rides that day. I mean, that could have been down for a week if the situation was worse. So we actually were very lucky that it was just a 12-hour fix.
Thank you. Any other comments? Mr. Mullen.
Thank you, Chair Tissier. Just very briefly, as long as we're sharing thank yous, a thank you to MTC and staff. I had the pleasure of speaking on behalf of the commission at the ribbon cutting for the new ferry link, linking Jack London Square and Alameda in the East Bay to our biotechnology hub in South San Francisco. And I think some additional folks were encouraged to discover that service when BART had that brief shutdown. But we are very excited about this project, and it's going to lead to further development of biotechnology jobs in South San Francisco. But it's made possible by Regional Measure 2, ongoing operational dollars, as well as the voters of San Mateo County as part of the half-cent sales tax building that terminal out. So a very strong event in our community, and just wanted to share the thanks there.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, thank you. We are now to the consent calendar. We did receive a letter regarding one of the items, Resolution Number 3925 revised. It was a letter from Howard Beckman regarding the PDA planning grant for East 14th Street in unincorporated Alameda County. Did anybody have any comments or questions regarding that?
Move consent.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Seeing no objection, that passes. We'll now move into committee reports. Item number 7, Administrative Committee. Mr. Bates.
Madam Chair, the Administrative Committee met and recommends to the full committee that we adopt the MTC budget for fiscal year 2012-2013. So I move resolution number 4077, MTC fiscal year 2012 agency budget.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would just like to add that also in the packet is a recommendation for an authorization for the executive director to enter into the ABAG funding agreement consistent with the budget that would be adopted by the motion. So it is a separate action that's requested as well to authorize that. And that is consistent with the current funding formula with ABAG, but understanding that discussions are underway for a framework for fiscal year 2013-14 and moving forward.
Okay, so I'll also move that recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion, a second on resolution number 4077. All in favor?
Just a point of order. Isn't that typically the chair's report?
Yeah, I've got two things. I got Mr. Bates here, and then I've got you on this sheet as chair, which...
Just wondering.
Yes, so you are...
I'm sorry, I didn't say... You have that... He's actually the chair.
Yeah, you are the chair. That's what confused me. Okay.
Just a point of order. I'm happy to continue with the vote.
No, you are the chair. It's wrong in the book here.
That's right. I'm taking over.
But you did a nice job, Mr. Bates, but Mr. Cortese, perhaps you should take over as chair.
Dictator Bates.
No, I defer to Mr. Bates. We'll let you do the second item. We'll let you do your second item. Mr. Cortese, go ahead.
Actually, the only report I have is on the same item, 4077. So my report was to move that item. I think we just have a redundant report. So I think the motion on the floor is satisfactory.
Okay, but the item, did I understand item B needs to be approved separately?
No, we just did it.
We just did resolution 4077, but item number B for the ABAG funding agreement is a separate item.
Madam Chair, that is correct, and I apologize for getting the wrong name in here, and I think we gave you the wrong talking paper, too, so we're two for two there. The budget issue is a recommendation from the committee. We did not bring the ABAG agreement to the committee. We're bringing it directly to the commission. So the staff recommendation on that is for you to approve this agreement, which governs our pass-through funding to ABAG for the coming fiscal year, FY 12-13. As I think you're aware, we are in discussions with ABAG about a longer-term framework for a multi-year funding agreement. That would start in FY14. So this one gets us the next year at basically current funding levels, and then we would plan on bringing back to you in July, if we're successful, the funding framework for FY14 and following. So we recommend approval of this funding agreement today.
Okay, maybe just to, since we have lots of chairs on this one, why don't I just go ahead and ask for a motion on that? We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I get recognized for just a second?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr.
Baker. Yeah. I just want to say that what a good soldier I am. I get here and I see my name here. I don't have anything in front of me. And I'm scrambling around here. I guess I'm the vice chair, at least at one point was.
Mr.
So.
Wiener,
so I assumed
I think
that
the chair
was not here. So I apologize to the chair for.
But
if I was going to. Mr. Haggerty is accusing me of a coup of some sort. If it's going to happen, it's not going to be at this level. It's not going to be at this level. It's going to be a little higher level.
You both did a fine job. We'll try not to do that again. Okay. All right. Let's move on to item number 8. Which is the Operations Committee. Chair McKenzie.
Yes, Chair McKenzie, with the able assistance of his vice chair, Commissioner Mullen, who is not in any form of rebellion that I know of at the moment, and who is planning to move to higher office, evidently, we are happy to say that neither of us were present at the Operations Committee meeting, but our chair filled in nobly for us, and I was given the following document to read, thereby tipping, giving me the hint that I should do this. And it says, the Operations Committee met on Friday, June 8th, and referred the following items to the Commission. The final Title VI Summary Report, Clipper Fair Media Transitions. Number 2, a request to direct staff to submit the final Title VI summary report to the Federal Transit Administration and to implement changes to the Clipper program in a manner consistent with the final Title VI summary report, and adoption of MTC Resolution Number 3983 revised Clipper operating rules, which includes reinstatement of a $3 one-time acquisition fee for customers acquiring new Clipper cards. I move to direct staff to submit the final Title VI summary report to FTA to implement changes to the Clipper program consistent with the final Title VI summary report, and I move adoption of Resolution Number 3983, revised Clipper operating rules. And in making that motion, I would also like to acknowledge the great pleasure that it has been working with Melanie Crotty, who, as we have heard, is going to become in charge of operations, and I'm looking forward to working with the new Director of Electronic Payments, Carol Kuster. So with that, Madam Chair, I make this motion.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, seeing no opposition, that passes. We'll now move on to the Legislation Committee. Mr. Haggerty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Legislation Committee met on June 8th and referred the following to the Commission. First of all, Alameda County Measure B would add a new half-cent sales tax through the year 2022 and thereafter extended in perpetuity the one full-cent sale tax dedicated to transportation projects and programs. I would move support of Alameda County's Measure B.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, that passes.
Next item is the cap and trade legislative advocacy principles, which will guide MTC's advocacy regarding cap and trade related bills in the current legislative session, as well as in the development of an expenditure plan for FY13-14. The MTC's Director of Legislation and Public Affairs, Mr. Randy Rentschler, will present the revision to the principles recommended by the Legislative Committee for Commission's consideration. I'd also note that we have before us a letter from Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California asking for a line added that says through SB 375 implementation, specifically including funding for transit-oriented affordable housing. I would ask that Randy also respond to that.
Commissioners, thank you. You know, cap and trade is a is going to be kind of a new field for us to seek a consensus on in Sacramento on the funding side. As a result at the legislation committee, we included a series of principles that could guide us as we work up in Sacramento with a whole bunch of other private and also public interest groups who are going to be certainly trying to convince the legislature to do what they want. And we've included a set of seven principles at the Ledge Committee. And in the meantime, in our discussions with our partners up in Sacramento, we wanted today to propose a change to one of them, and it's item three. And in your packet, excuse me, you can see some strikeout language that essentially gets to the following point, is that what we're trying to do is to identify how much revenue we should target. And in our prior principles, we sought to target 40% of the revenues because that's essentially what the greenhouse gas emission is for the transportation side of the equation. Over the last couple of weeks, our transportation partners and others have tried to focus on a different idea, which we think is a better one, which is the allowance of revenue from transportation fuels. So obviously what's going to happen is some sort of a trap and cap and trade agreement is going to come down. It's going to affect fuels. It's also going to affect coal-fired power plants and a whole host of other things. So we thought the fuels thing was a much tighter nexus than the amount of greenhouse gases. So that's the first recommendation we would make to you. This morning in conversation with Michael Lane and others, he's asked for a change, which I think is a good one. Their letter to you essentially asked that we include funding for low-income housing in transit-oriented areas. Now, look, that's a great idea, and we're all for it. But we're also for a whole bunch of other ideas, too, that you all have discussed as part of your sustainable community strategy idea. So we don't want to include one thing. We want a broad amount of projects to be able to be eligible to come back to the commission after we settle this in Sacramento. But I do think we can add some language that I think can address some of their concerns. So that language would be this. Currently, we're proposing it say allowance revenues from transportation fuel should be dedicated to projects that reduce emissions from the transportation sector, as opposed to what it is now dedicated to transportation investments. And we think that language is broad enough so that we can include a whole host of projects, including low-income housing. So with that, we'd recommend that you make these changes.
Keep that language again, please.
So in the item three, it's been struck out, and a new in italics says, allowance revenue from transportation fuels should be dedicated to projects that reduce emissions from the transportation sector, is what it would read in the first sentence in italics.
Okay. So, Commissioner Green?
I didn't say that everything else that would be as written.
Correct. That's correct. Yes. We're just talking about that first sentence.
All right. Commissioner LaCaro?
Thank you. Quick question, Randy. In terms of the switch to focusing on transportation fuels, my impression, and it's probably an incorrect one, but my impression was that cap and trade, as it gets phased in, the most likely, the lowest hanging fruit is going to be around energy generation, and it's not going to be at the pump. And so I'm worried about us getting shortchanged if we focus narrowly on transportation fuels. Can you help explain?
Look, I think that's a fair question, and I don't know if I know the answer to it right now. I think your assessment about the low-hanging fruit being in the power stations is probably true, yes. But there's no doubt that the transportation sector and fuels are going to be an important part of the mix. Now, when it happens and how it happens is that sense of uncertainty that we just don't know. So, you know, we are, as you can see in this case, recommending that we take a path that talks about fuels. This is one of the risks that we're accepting on taking this path.
And I can appreciate the trade-offs. I guess I wonder if maybe it would make sense to have broader language for whatever period in which we anticipate that this cap and trade may be only applying to power plants, and include this language for that point when the transition occurs to include transportation fuels.
So, Commissioner, are you saying that until such time that transportation fuels are included, we would have a policy to go after a percentage based upon greenhouse gas emissions, and at such time transportation fuels are part of the mix that we would focus exclusively there? Is that the idea?
That's right. That's exactly it.
Okay.
Look, suggestion.
I think we could work with that if that's the direction of the commission while we're seeking a bill in Sacramento, because these are just principles that we're trying to form statute with as it's going to come out. So if that's the direction that I get, I'm sure it's something I can easily work with.
Mr. Chair, would this be appropriate time for a motion?
No, I have a couple. Somebody turn off.
I have a couple speakers, so I'd like to hear from the speakers first. Is there any other questions? First speaker is Evelyn Stivers, and after that would be Manolo Gonzalez to stay.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. My name is Evelyn Stivers. I'm with the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California. We represent people that build, live in, and support affordable housing. We did submit a letter, the pink letter that I think all of you have. We are supportive of staff's recommendation, the recommended change that Randy just brought up. The intent, as I think we tried to make clear in the letter, is to make sure that you can spend the money on the kinds of programs that you already are spending money on. So we wanted to make sure that the money wasn't restricted in its uses once it came to you. So we are especially concerned because of the loss of redevelopment and other important funding for affordable housing, that it's going to be very challenging to implement SB 375. So any opportunity we have to try to increase the funding available for affordable housing would be very much helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn. Manolo? And I apologize, Manolo. I didn't get cards. So if I'll give you a couple extra minutes if you want to say some great things about Measure B.
As always. I'll start off with that then, sir.
If you don't, you don't get extra time.
Yeah. Manolo Gonzalez is Diet Transform. And I understand you were trying to move forward and get that passed. On regards to Measure B, Transform has come out in support of Alameda Measure B. We've worked hard and diligently on that, and we're going to continue to work hard and diligently on that to make sure that other organizations realize the benefits it will give for Alameda County. Still trying to make sure that everyone understands that, and we'll continue doing that and working with that. And so we're pleased to see that you guys have passed that. Now, in regards to the cap and trade issue, we're here to support the Nonprofit Housing Association's letter and their ideas to make sure that there's trend-oriented development and focusing on low-income housing, which is something that's becoming more and more scarce. And especially as we see the SCS going forward, housing is a big issue in affordable housing and the lack of it. And so I think this is an opportunity. We are also very supportive of MTC staff and particularly Randy's very eloquent pen working and grammar changing here, though, so we appreciate that, and we are very supportive of that. So I just wanted to offer our support with that. So he's still working on there, so I know. So we appreciate that, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Manolo. All right, back to the commission for any comments or motion. Vice Chair Rainwood.
Yeah, I want to appreciate staff's modification of the language. I also concur that we've worked so hard on SB 375, again, the transportation agencies along with the cities in our region, to develop what I believe is an embracing of SB 375's goals and objectives. And given the demise of redevelopment, cities are really strapped to try to find ways to provide the transportation and infrastructure investments that are needed for our transit-oriented development through the RENA process. So I appreciate staff's work, and I think this is an important thing to get on the record what our intent is as we move forward with this, because we want to keep the language broad, but I think it's important that the Bay Area is able to achieve the goals that we've set forward. So thank you.
Anybody else at this point? Sure. I just wanted to make sure everybody was done down that way. Commissioner LaCaro, did you?
Yeah, just a quick check-in. Randy, does staff have any concerns with the direction that was suggested in our last conversation?
No, look, I think you're identifying a risk that we should try to mitigate, which is the transportation fuels could happen way off into the future, and we need to get in the game no matter what happens. So I understand that.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to modify the advocacy principles as described, I think, better described by Randy than by me. That is to be able to give us an opportunity if there is, if cap and trade were to phase in only as to power plants, that we have some opportunity to be dedicating transportation revenue, or revenue for investments that will reduce greenhouse gas emissions in transportation through the cap and trade on those fuels.
Okay, I have a motion and a second, I guess. The executive director wishes to address us.
Mr. Chairman, I've just doodled down some language. If
I love when you doodle.
Give it
go
to
for
you.
It.
I think I can capture Commissioner Liccardo's point. What I would suggest, if you could go to the written document you have. So I would restore all the stricken language. I would start that principle with all that language. I would add the word initially in the first sentence, in the first line before the A at the end. So it would read, given that transportation contributes almost 40% of the state's GHG emissions, initially a similar share of the allowance revenue, and so on and so forth. Then I would change the first sentence of the new language, the italicized language, to read as follows. Following implementation of the cap and trade system on transportation fuels, allowance revenue from such fuels should be dedicated to projects that reduce emissions from the transportation sector, and then continue on with the remainder of the language in that italicized section.
That captures the intent of my motion.
So, Commissioner Liccardo, is that your motion?
Yes.
Okay, is that your second? I have a motion and a second. Oh, thanks, Rosie. Thanks. Okay, any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion before us? Motion passed unanimously. I'll now move to SB 875 to Sonia, which required the Joint Policy Committee as well as its individual member agencies to prepare a number of new reports related to sustainable community strategies, including recommendations on organizational reform, such as the creation of a new agency by statute or through a joint exercise of joint powers agreement and another institutional agreement arrangement. Regional economic development and public and community outreach. I move to ratify our opposition to SB 878.
Second.
I'm done.
Mr. Chair.
Unless you want me to call for the question.
Go ahead. Someone
has a comment. Somebody wanted to speak. I'm hearing. Randy. Everybody good? Oh, Randy? Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I want to hear from Randy.
Mr. Haggerty, I think the one thing is we would recommend that this commission ratify the decision of the Ledge Committee just on process grounds. I think it's important to understand that yesterday this bill came out in a new form that completely drops all the existing language in 878 and instead seeks to focus the California Transportation Commission on creating a new study for themselves. So I think the thrust of the opposition from the commission was that you wanted to engage in a conversation with the senator and to drop this legislation this year, and it looks like that policy outcome has occurred. So I think the stakes are different now, but I do think that you should go forth and, you know, move forward just to ratify a decision that was made by the Ledge Committee.
Well, knowing the way this has been going, this language is probably in another bill somewhere else that we'll have to go find. So I guess we're just ratifying our opposition to SB 878.
Yes.
Well, okay. I'm going to get to you, Bates.
Just so that I have freedom of action up in Sacramento to follow policy direction
this
from
is
you, the answer is
kind of a
yes.
procedural move,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Bates.
Well,
Dictator
I just wanted
Bates,
to indicate that I, you know, had as chair of the JPC, I've had several conversations with the senator in the recent time, and he indicated he was actually kind of shocked because he thought he was doing something in light of what we had discussed, which we didn't understand that he got an understanding that nobody else got. But in any case, he indicated to me that he was going to drop this bill, this content of the bill, and he was going to use it for another purpose. So he is now scheduled to come before the JPC, I think it's on the 9th of July, and we hope to then to have some positive relations. Rather, so there's no bill. He indicated to me that there was no bill going to be moving that he was going to be involved with around this subject matter in this session of the legislature. So I think we're back to square one, and maybe we can build a positive relationship with the senator rather than being a, you know, adversarial position. The other thing I'd say, Randy, this new bill, taking an opposition to this bill now is really not relevant, but it's almost like, because it's now a new subject, but I don't think it matters. It's sort of like a, maybe it's a point they just, you know, that we're so angry that we were going to oppose the bill no matter what's in it.
Well, Coach, I certainly hope that that's not the outcome. But again, look, your point's well taken. If the commission decides just to let this go, that's fine as well. The only thing I need as your staff is direction on policy. I would focus not on the bill number, but on the policy that was in that bill.
So at this point, we probably qualify for a reality series on TLC channel. Is there any objection to the motion? All right. Thank you, Mayor Green. You're consistent. Anybody else? Okay. Motion passed with one no vote. Commissioner Green. It's all yours, Madam Chair.
Okay. Just have to come back to the beginning. All right. Thank you, Mr. Haggerty. We are now to public comment. I have no public comment cards, so I'll move to adjourn the meeting, and our next meeting will be at 9:30 Wednesday, July 25th, 2012. Thank you.